would you take these words and speak to us through them now? I ask in your name.
Amen.
Please be seated. A woman bought a parrot for a pet, and this parrot, the time she got it, began to berate her, began to insult her, and this went on and on and on for weeks. And finally she had enough. So she went and she picked up the parrot, and every time she tried to pick up the parrot would peck her with his beak. So she picked it up and she carried it over, and all the while the parrot was insulting her. "You're terrible. You're a horrible person. I hate being here with you." On and on and on. And so she went to the freezer and opened the door and threw the parrot in and slammed the door. Well, the parrot continued on for about 5 seconds, and then all of a sudden it got quiet. And she thought that maybe she'd killed the parrot. So she opened the door, and the parrot just stood there looking at her. She reached in and grabbed it, and the parrot began to say, "I am so sorry that I've been treating you so bad. I apologize, and I promise from now on I'm going to be the best, most obedient parrot ever." And she said, "Well, okay, I accept your apology. I forgive you." And so the parrot then said, "May I ask another question?" And she said, "Yes, sure." So the parrot looked at the freezer door and asked, "What did the chicken do?" See, the parrot saw a chicken in the freezer. It was frozen. Well, if I have to explain it, then it doesn't do any good. In our gospel lesson today, Peter asks a very important question. And he asks a profound question, really. So I'd like us to look at that again from our gospel lesson. So if you'll turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. And again, that's on verse 21. In the Pew Bibles, that's on page 1531. And Peter is asking a question of Jesus. And the question goes like this: "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Now, you may remember from last week that the gospel lesson was about Jesus telling how if we have something against our brother or sister, or somebody has something against us, we need to go to that person privately and try to reconcile, try to work things out. And if they won't listen to us, then maybe we take somebody else along with us. And if they won't listen to them either, then maybe we then tell it to the church." And so Jesus, in light of that, was telling that story. Peter asked the question, "Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brothers and sisters when they sin against me? Do I have to keep forgiving over and over and over again?" 7 times, he says. And Peter was obviously confused about what forgiveness is and perhaps what it isn't. And so as he was asking this question, he was really asking a question that many of us perhaps want to ask from time to time. It's a question that really reflects the heart of the new nature of the Christian. And the new nature of the Christian really is reflected in our forgiveness, because that is the nature of Jesus. Jesus' nature is to forgive. And so our nature should be reflected in our willingness to forgive as well. Jesus' most striking and humanly incomprehensible words came from the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Now, he said this after people had arrested him falsely for the wrong reason, for not doing anything. He didn't do anything wrong. He was humiliated, he was spat upon, he was beaten, he was tortured, and then finally he was nailed to a cross to die a long, slow, agonizing death. And yet even from the cross, his words did not contain any bitterness or any anger or any desire to lash out. He simply offered them forgiveness. Following the Lord's example, we read the story of Stephen the martyr in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was a Christian who was following the Lord's example when he was arrested for simply preaching the gospel. And they were beginning to stone him to death. And he said these words, "Lord, do not hold their sins against them." Stephen was filled with compassion toward his executioners as they were putting him to death. Forgiveness is the stuff of true godliness. Forgiveness is the stuff of true godliness. Perhaps to demonstrate how magnanimous Peter was, felt he was anyway, he said to Jesus, how about if I forgive people that sin against me seven times? That was twice what the Jewish tradition, the Jewish law required. So Peter thought, man, I'm just going way above and beyond the norm there. How about seven times, Jesus? Peter was still thinking like the scribes and Pharisees and like the fallen human nature is always inclined to think. He was thinking in measurable and limited terms of the law, not in the immeasurable and unlimited terms of grace. You see, law keeps count, but grace forgives. Grace does not. Therefore, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven is what the actual Greek says. Jesus wasn't expanding the law there to say, okay, now you have to forgive people 490 times. He wasn't doing that at all. He was taking Peter's numbers and he was multiplying 7 by 7 and then multiplying it by 10. And Peter would have heard that. He would have thought to himself, I can't even count that high. How am I going to remember how many times I've forgiven my brother or sister? It would have been a number that was beyond his calculations. Record keeping is not part of the Christian life. In fact, a Christian with a forgiving heart thinks nothing about it. He forgives the 100th offense or the 1,000th offense just as readily and graciously as the first, because that's the way he is forgiven by God. Forgiveness is not an option for the believer. We are to forgive others as we have been forgiven. For most of us, and I would assume if all of us are honest about it, we have been forgiven much by God. Have you ever thought about how much God has forgiven you for? Have you ever thought about all the times that maybe we've ignored God, or maybe we've kind of forgot about God for a while, or maybe we sinned against God, we've done something wrong in our lives? And how many times God has forgiven us for all of those things that we have done? Some of you may not feel like that God has forgiven you, but if you're a Christian here today, the Word of God says that you are forgiven for what you've done, because God had compassion and mercy on you and on us. Forgiveness is something that is not easy to understand and not easy to do in our lives, but it does make it more meaningful and perhaps even more tolerable if we begin to understand a little bit more about what forgiveness is and what it isn't. If we begin to understand what forgiveness is and what it isn't, then we're going to be better able to do what the Lord commanded us to do. Jesus then goes on to tell the story in the gospel lesson about a master who called his servants to give an account of the money that they owed him. And one of the servants came in and owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Jesus uses great hyperbole just to emphasize the point of the story here. 10,000 bags of gold. And he came before the master and he couldn't repay it, of course. And so the master was going to cause him and his family and his wife and all that he had to be sold to pay back the debt. And this guy fell down before the master and began to beg and plead, and, "Master, please be patient with me. Give me a little more time and I'll pay you back." And the master did something incredible. The master forgave his debt and let him go free. That would have been unthinkable to the people in those days who heard Jesus tell that story. And so we read, and Jesus goes on to say that the servant who is forgiven much then goes and finds one of his fellow servants who owes him just a small amount of money. And he says to that servant as he begins to choke him, "Pay back the money that you owe me." And the fellow servant falls on his knees and begins to beg for mercy. "Please give me some more time and I'll pay you back." But this servant, for whom much had been forgiven, had no mercy, and he had him arrested and thrown into prison. And his fellow servants heard about that, and they were outraged at what he had done. So they went to the master and told him, and the master was furious when he heard what this servant had done. So he called the servant in, and he read him the riot act, and he had him thrown into prison until he could repay his debt. Jesus goes on to say in verse 35, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." If we have any hope of being able to forgive the way that Jesus asks us to forgive, it has to be from the heart. And if we have any hope of really forgiving, we have to begin to understand what is involved in terms of forgiveness. We have to understand what forgiveness is and what it isn't. And if we do that, then we'll have a better chance of actually forgiving the way that Jesus wants us to forgive. In your bulletins, I've printed off something that is entitled, "What Forgiveness Is and What It Isn't." And this is yours for you to take home. You can make notes on it. You can scribble on it. You can draw on it, whatever you want to do. But it's yours to take home with you today. And as you look at that, I want to take us through that particular insert to talk about some of the aspects of forgiveness. And certainly the first seven things I want to talk about are what forgiveness is not. Because there's a lot of confusion about what forgiveness really is. And so, first of all, you'll see there that forgiveness is not forgetting. You won't forgive someone. When you forgive someone, your memory just all of a sudden won't go blank and you'll forget everything that happened to you. I know that God could do that, but certainly we can't do that as human beings. And I suspect God wants forgiveness to be more intentional than that. And so we shouldn't expect to forget what the person has done to us. The second thing that forgiveness is not is regaining automatic trust. You don't immediately begin to trust the person who has hurt you when you forgive them. You don't automatically just become buddy buddies with them again. And certainly that wouldn't even be logical, because trust is earned and they must earn trust over time. Now, that doesn't mean that we'll always get to that place where we regain full trust in that person. But it could be that we might regain trust. For example, if a husband or a wife sins against each other and they ask for forgiveness, it's quite possible that that spouse can forgive them and that relationship can be restored right back to where it was. But that may not always happen with people we have to forgive. We may not always have that trust restored again. The next thing that forgiveness is not is a removal of consequences. Even though you forgive someone, that may not negate the consequences that go along with what they have done. For example, if someone steals something from you, they may have to suffer the consequences of being arrested and put into jail. Forgiveness is also not ignoring the offense. You don't have to pretend that nothing happened when you forgive. The reality is that the offense was made. Acting like it never occurred only builds resentment and anger. So forgiveness is not ignoring the offense. Forgiveness is also not instant emotional healing. Emotions heal with time, and sometimes those hurts run very deep, and it's very difficult for us to forgive or to get over those emotions. And many times it takes a long time for us to overcome those emotions that have been wounded so deeply. Another thing that forgiveness is not is restoring the same relationship. The relationship may be closer than it was before the event happened, but it may not be. You may not be as close to the person as you once were. You may be back to where you were before, but you may not be restored to that original relationship. And it will most likely not be the same. And finally, the last thing that forgiveness is not is a leverage of power. Granting forgiveness does not give the person doing the forgiving power over the one being forgiven. That would violate the entire principle and purpose of forgiveness. I often wonder why we have such a difficult time with forgiveness, and probably it's because we don't understand what forgiveness is not, but we also don't understand what forgiveness is. And that's what I want to talk about next. You'll see on your sheet there are seven things that forgiveness is. As difficult as forgiveness is to extend to someone, it's often a most important ingredient in healthy relationships and in being a completely healthy person yourself. So unless you get to that place of forgiveness, you're never going to be really as healthy as God wants you to be, nor will your relationships be as healthy as God wants them to be. So we've talked about things about what forgiveness is not. Let's look at what forgiveness is. First of all, it's a choice. Granted, it's a difficult choice. It's a choice that's hard to make. And the deeper and more frequent the wounds were, the harder it is to make that choice. It's much easier to hang on to the pain and not let it go. But forgiveness is a conscious decision made by the injured party. You simply, and of course, maybe not so simply, need to let go and release the injury and forgive. So forgiveness is a choice. Secondly, forgiveness is letting go of the right to get even. When we get hurt by someone, when someone does something against us, our immediate reaction is want to get even. We want to punish them for what they've done. We want them to let them know how bad they've hurt us. We want them to suffer in some way. The natural tendency is to want to get revenge. But you give up the right to revenge when you forgive someone. In the truest sense, it's a clean slate approach to forgive. In fact, God actually encourages us to give our desire for revenge over to Him. And He will take care of it in His time. I like what the Message Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. It says this: "Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it." God promises to take care of our need for revenge in His way and in His time, if we would simply allow Him to take care of it. Forgiveness is also moving forward. Forgiveness is like saying, "It hurt, I didn't like it, but I'm moving forward with my life in spite of the pain." Imagine running a race with a sack of potatoes around your neck. Imagine how difficult that would be. Well, that's what it's like to carry around unforgiveness. You're really carrying around a weight that is probably much heavier for you than it is for the person who you need to forgive. The author of the Hebrews illustrates this for us also when he says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sins that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us." So forgiveness means moving on with our lives. Another thing that forgiveness is dropping resentment and the need to hold a grudge. Forgiveness releases the angst toward the person who did the injury. One definition of forgiveness is this: knowing that you've really forgiven someone. And that is this: if what happens when the person comes to your mind again is the pain that they've caused you, if that's the first thing you think about when you think of that person, then you may not really have forgiven them yet. So dropping resentment and a grudge is really part of forgiveness as well. Another thing related to forgiveness is that it's a step toward healing. It's a step in healing. Again, forgiveness releases the weight from the injured, but it also opens the door for emotions to begin to heal. And that takes time. It doesn't happen automatically or instantaneously. It's not an overnight thing. But when true forgiveness occurs, most people feel a huge weight released from them immediately. And then the emotions begin to heal. And then perhaps trust may begin to be developed again. Forgiveness is also an opportunity to display grace. There's no greater picture of God's forgiveness to us than how we forgive one another. It literally is being an example of Christ. Paul wrote in the Colossians chapter 3, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive as well. It's an opportunity to display grace to another. And finally, it's the removal of a roadblock. Forgiveness removes the barrier between us and between our peace and having peace with ourselves and peace with others and peace with God. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, I know these are difficult things to do, and offering forgiveness is not an easy thing to do. And I know for some of you, the pain runs very deep. And I can't describe it for you adequately, but I can tell you that forgiveness is all that it claims to be. Pastor Ron Edmondson tells the following story. He says, the hardest person for me to forgive was my dad. He was absentee most of my childhood, and I resented it greatly. I didn't understand why I had to forgive him when he did wrong against an innocent child. One day, and over time, God convicted me. In one moment, I chose to forgive him. And yes, it was a conscious choice I made to release the pain I held against him. I cannot describe the freedom which came to me when I did. It wasn't really about him at that point. It was about me. But that moment changed our relationship and the way I saw my dad from that point on. I wish he were still alive today to enjoy time together. If you truly want to be free of the hold the injury has on your heart, he says, forgive the one who injured you. We're going to pray in just a moment. And I'm going to ask God, and I hope that you will ask God to reveal to you someone that perhaps you have yet to forgive. Maybe it's a parent that's long since died, but you're still hanging on to something that they did to you in the past. Maybe it's a co-worker or a boss that treated you wrong, or maybe it's another family member with whom you haven't spoken in years. Or maybe it's a spouse that you really are harboring unconfessed anger toward them. Whatever the case may be, ask God to reveal that to you, and then make a choice to forgive them. You may even want to take an opportunity, if they're still around, to seek to go to them and to forgive them for what they have done in person. But whatever the case may be, begin by making the choice to forgive today. And then begin by releasing all of the pain, all of the anger, all of the hurt to the Lord, all the desire for vengeance to him. And then begin to ask him to heal the emotional pain within you that resulted from the injury that you received. Now, maybe that you haven't forgiven God. Maybe you feel like God should have done something for you and he didn't. Or maybe you feel like God has let you down in some way. Or maybe you feel like God has disappointed you or hurt you in some way. And maybe you haven't ever forgiven God for what he has done. Take an opportunity to forgive God and to enter into that relationship that he wants you to have with him again. So let us pray. Father, would you reveal to us anyone now who we have not forgiven? Lord, maybe no one comes to mind. If that's the case, then great. Maybe we can just pray for someone that we know is having a hard time forgiving someone else. But Lord, if there's anyone that we need to forgive, would you bring them to our minds now, Lord? Would you give us the grace to make a choice to forgive them, even though we may not feel like it, even though we may not have the emotions inside to do so? Would you give us the grace to forgive them? Would you take that burden that so many have been carrying off their shoulders, Lord? Then, Lord, would you lead us and guide us into the future? Whether it's moving on with our lives or seeking a restoration in that relationship or just continuing on toward practicing the art of showing grace to others that we may need to forgive. Whatever the case may be, Lord, would you lead us in that path that you want us to go? Ultimately, Lord, we just thank you, for you have forgiven us of so much. How can we not forgive others who sin against us? We ask for your grace and your help at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.